This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Of course, the one, the only Tim Swartz doing his famous Margaret Thatcher imitation.
Yeah, is that who it was? Margaret Thatcher? That's
I don't know. Irina, what do you think? Who do you think he was trying to sound like there?
Howdy Doody.
How do you even remember Howdy Doody?
Oh, that's just a little bit before my time. Not by much, though. Not by much.
Yeah, of course. That preceded Mr. Rogers by quite a few years. Okay, so Irina, we're looking at all the things that happened around the Pascagoula case that have come to the fore. Now, I wanted to clarify this before. Okay, so one of the reasons that Philip Mantle decided to have you, in addition to being an experienced author and researcher, to probe into this is a cultural thing that you would have an easier time communicating with people living in a small town in Mississippi as opposed to some guy from Great Britain?
That's what I thought. And also I had a setup where I could record the conversations too.
Did you find it all, and people are going to ask this, so we've got to braise it, that some people were just trying to get in on the action as opposed to having a real experience?
I don't know, because I ask everybody who they told and if they told people at the same time just to investigate. And they generally said, yeah, they told a few people, but not very many. So I tried to collect information on who they told, but that's about all I could do. They all seem pretty sincere to me.
Now, the other thing here, of course, is obviously the police, when they taped Hickson and Parker, were basically trying to set them up to see if there was evidence of fakery. Did they care much about looking into anything else around that incident, or did they just leave it by itself?
The reporters and everything just swarmed them, and both men wondered how everybody knew about it. And I interviewed another policeman who wasn't in Pascagoula, it was some distance away, and he heard about it on the police radio right after it happened. And I think maybe that's how so many people found out about it. I think so many people took over the investigation that the police, there were just a lot of people investigating. It wasn't just them anymore.
So they lost control of it. They really couldn't do anything beyond that initial case.
Well, Dr. Hynek and Dr. Harder, who were professors, they came in, and they were looked up to as regular professors. Dr. Hynek was an astronomy professor, and Dr. Harder was University of Berkeley, California, so that was pretty big. So they investigated and interviewed him and everything, too, and there were all these reporters and everything.
Well, I was going to say, now, wasn't Charles and Calvin the very next day taken to the local Air Force base and interviewed again separately?
Yeah, they were. Calvin was very nervous, and he was afraid that he might be contaminated or he might be radioactive, and he asked to go to the hospital and have them look at him. When he got back, he bagged his clothes and threw them away and washed with, I think it was Clorox or something.
Yes, bleach. He told me he took a bath in bleach.
Yeah, so he was pretty nervous about it. And they took him to the hospital, and I talked to the first doctor that talked to him, Dr. Bosco, and he thought they were very sincere. He thought they were extremely stressed and that they were telling the truth. And so did the other people. A number of other people talked to him at the hospital. And then that particular hospital, Singing River Hospital, I think, didn't have any tests for radiation, so they took them to Kessler Air Force Base and tested them for radiation.
And the results being negative?
Yeah, the results were negative. He was worried there might be some other type of contamination things, and so he was pretty nervous about that he might be contaminating other people, but they didn't find anything.
This is very interesting about UFO sightings in general. Aside from a very few cases where there were physical effects like Cash Landrum and perhaps Rendlesham, when people come into contact with UFO entities or appear to come in contact, the physical damage does not exist. It doesn't appear that they're being infected by anything. So maybe ET cares about our microbes?
Well, in the War of the Worlds, as you remember, our microbes were what killed them off.
Right, but that meant, of course, that ET in War of the Worlds was very stupid. Because you think that if a race of advanced beings goes to another planet, one of the first things they would take care would be to check local microbes and make sure they weren't infected. But then again, we're talking about a book written in the 1890s, so such niceties were not apparent to H.G. Wells.
No, that's what I meant. That was a joke.
Oh, okay. Well, you see, I don't have a sense of humor. Forgive me.
Go ahead, Irina.
He'd seen the astronauts come back to the moon and everything. They self-isolated and were worried about contamination.
Well, now, after the abduction, Charles did say that he found, Calvin said that he found marks on his body where he thought that possibly he had been injected.
Well, yes, he said that they both, these beings or whatever they were, machines or whatever they were, grabbed him, and they both just went like they were paralyzed. But it wasn't like they were put out with the anesthetic they used then. They were conscious, but they couldn't move. And they both thought maybe they'd been injected. And we've had several, there were marks on their body that somebody found pictures of marks on their body that they think were taken then. And we had several doctors look at them. The ones on Hickson just looked like surface scratches. The ones on Parker looked like they might have been injections. They were in black and white, so you couldn't really tell. But the ones on Parker were, the one on Parker was on his, the bottom of his foot, which is an odd place, but they might have undressed him or something.
Yeah, Parker said that almost as soon as he was touched by one of these creatures, that he said that he just went limp, that just all resistance just left him completely.
Resistance was futile.
Yes, that's why they thought they had been injected with something, and I think they heard some kind of a noise or something. But the so far, I don't think they actually found anything that would prove they were injected. Although there was marks on the foot of Parker, these scratches on Hickson looked like they were just surface scratches. We had a couple of doctors look at them. I may get another doctor, too. But it's hard to tell because they were black and white pictures. And they weren't even sure if these were the same marks.
Yeah, I want to ask you something here, which is a subtitle in one of your chapters. Chapter 2, Instruments Resemble Modern Scanners. And we're talking here about 1973, so I want to know more about this, what this came out to be. Irina Scott is author of a brand spanking new book. You like the book so much you want to spank it, called Beyond Pascagoula, The Rest of the Amazing Story, forgive my lousy puns, with Gene and with Irina. And with Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Irina, clarify this again. The instruments resemble modern scanners. How so? What can we compare them with?
Well, they had the impression that they were being scanned, and in one there was a sort of machine that came out and circled their body and then came back into the wall. And that's not since then they've invented the CAT scan and everything that really scans your body, but even our CAT scans, you have to go lay down and go in a big machine. And this seemed to just be something that just rotated around them, and they had the impression they were being scanned. So it was like something today, but even more modern.
Well, just as an example, I had an echocardiogram done the other day, and they have this device where they hook up a couple of probes, actually three probes, to your chest. And then they take this device, this portable device that scans the area where your heart is and sends, of course, the ultrasonic waves to get a picture of what's going on with your heart. But then it's not coming out of the wall. It's a physical device connected to a physical machine, but it could also be wireless. It could be done by Bluetooth, I assume.
Yeah, and that's something that's possible today, but not in 1973. I mean,
exactly.
Star Trek
didn't know about that.
No. They had their tricorder, I guess, or whatever it was.
Well, they also had these devices where they would get readings from the patients in the sick bay.
Mm-hmm. You don't know if that's what they were doing, but that's what they had the impression that that's what they were doing.
Well, we're looking here, if all the details are precisely as reported, we're looking here at just regular guys from the 1970s without a scientific education being exposed to advanced technology from another planet. So I would even think, no matter what, that the descriptions are probably very general, even if they're completely accurate.
And you don't know if it's real, if the beings are putting on a show, or if they are really, you know, doing it like a CAT scan or something.
Well, that brings up another point here, whether this entire experience is still in their minds. Not that there weren't UFOs. Obviously, there were, because you have investigated them. Obviously, we have another couple who were abducted. Now, that's an interesting thing, too. Were you able to take these two experiences with the man and the woman and Hickson and Parker and compare them detail by detail?
No, because the Blairs didn't remember that much. Maria Blair never remembered as yet being in the object. She just remembers looking in and seeing a bright light. And her husband, he said that these beings or whatever they were kind of gave him an exam, but then he couldn't talk because he's on a ventilator, so he didn't explain it too well either. So there's not that much information from them.
That's a shame, because, you know, there would have been so much corroborating evidence with the two cases especially if Mr. Blair had decided to talk earlier.
Well, I guess he didn't.
Well, and we've seen that before, haven't we? Where you have somebody who's had an unusual experience like this, just basically completely shut down and try to block the experience out of their memory just completely.
Well, that happens with a lot of things besides UFOs, and it's why people, post-traumatic shock and that sort of thing, people may not remember what happened for 20 years or something. I mean, with just normal things, let alone UFO abduction.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you know, that brings me to the description of the creatures that Charles and Calvin reported. I mean, these beings are very unique in their physical appearance. I mean, you know, we're all used right now to, I guess, the whole stereotypical little gray aliens with the big heads and the big black eyes. But these things, I mean, they were tall, gray, wrinkled skin like elephants. We've never seen anything like that before or afterwards, have we?
Well, they were just kind of the opposite. The ones, well, the common idea now of an alien is a slender, short thing with a big head and big eyes. And these are sort of porky or porty or something. And I don't even know if they were sure they saw their eyes. And I think they were kind of short, though. Maybe, well, he saw three real tall ones, and then the rest of them were shorter, though. So they weren't any, and then they, instead of having legs, the ones that the two anglers saw, they sort of had pedestals or something, and they just floated. They didn't walk.
I have seen that in sci-fi films. In fact, I recall something like that, maybe in a Star Trek episode, where the beings kind of floated as opposed to actually physically walking.
Yeah, I don't know, but this, yeah, but they didn't look like a normal idea of the aliens today, anyway.
Well, I think that really, I mean, up until the early 1970s, when we did have, encounters with, occupants of UFOs. I mean, they were all over the place in description. Of course, you had the 1950s style blonde space brothers, but then you had, little hairy entities. You had tall creatures with green skin, anything that you can imagine. And then after that, it kind of became homogenized almost till we have again the little gray big eyed creatures.
Yeah, and you don't know, they maybe work with mind control, and so what people see may not be actual anyway. They may just make pictures in people's minds of what they look like instead of being all kinds of beings.
Mm-hmm. Well, now the whole October 1973 sightings, there were also, all across the country, a lot of entity sightings as well associated with these UFOs.
Yes, there were, and that was something unique with that wave, is there a lot more humanoid sightings than there had been before.
We are going to do our break here with Dr. Scott, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At the end of a day of searching for a missing boy on Friday, the Grimes County, Texas sheriff said of the efforts,
"We have one mission, which is to find a young man."
So the latest is mission accomplished, as that missing three-year-old has been found alive shortly before noon local time today, about 5 miles from his home. He'd last been seen playing with a dog on Wednesday in his Plantersville neighborhood. He apparently just wandered off. He's been reunited with his his family and taken to a hospital to be evaluated, but the sheriff said he seems to be fine. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi meeting with Pope Francis today at the Vatican after he had given an address in which he urged world leaders to act on climate change, Pelosi calling the meeting a spiritual, personal, and official honor. Former President Trump's about to hold a rally in Iowa. It'll be his first since the 2020 election, and this is USA Radio News. U.S. diplomats are meeting with Taliban representatives this weekend. The face-to-face meetings are reportedly going on in Qatar, the first such meetings between the two sides since American forces withdrew from Afghanistan in August. Another case of an unruly passenger aboard a commercial airliner being arrested as it made an emergency landing, in this case, at New York's LaGuardia Airport. Reports of suspicious behavior by a passenger, which led to some sort of square-off with other passengers, and then it turned into what the airline, Republic Airlines, refers to as a security incident. A huge police response met the airliner when it touched down in New York. This follows this pledge from President Biden just a few days ago.
I want you to know I've instructed the Justice Department to make sure that we deal with the violence on aircraft.
A report today that at least 9 Rikers Island inmates in New York City freed by New York's Democratic governor last month have all been arrested again. And this is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now he's getting into somebody from Sesame Street, I think. Jim Swartz.
Could be Tom Slick, maybe. You know?
That sounds slick to me. Irene, yes, it's interesting here to look at the description of the beings because they weren't consistent. They certainly don't look about like the beings that were seen in connection with the Sicario, New Mexico case, and certainly the Betty and Barney Hill case.
No, and I just wonder about the beings if it's something projected into people's minds because everybody seems to see a different type of being, and there's not a lot of beings.
Well, you see, that also creates the possibility here that the experience is something else entirely. This is something that they recalled, or they got the basics of interacting with someone or something, but the rest of their mind had to fill in the blanks.
Well, you wonder about that. You wonder if they just use mind control and make people see various things. Yeah, and whether people fill in the blanks, too.
Now, when it comes to the Hills, because they live near a military base, and, of course, had suffered from discrimination being an interracial couple, I have wondered, and I know the people who are more directly involved in that case will dispute what I say, if that could have been a military experiment to see how these people would react under those circumstances. I had thought maybe something like that would apply to Pascagoula. But now that we have another abduction, now that we have eyewitnesses of UFOs, that's not so easy to conclude.
Well, that's what they wondered, too. I mean, I think they were wondering when it was happening, is this something that the government's doing, an experiment by the government? I think they changed their mind, but I think they wondered about that, what was going on.
Well, if there is mind control involved, I could see Hickson and Parker and that couple, that being the case. When actual UFOs are seen, well, they could have been test aircraft.
Yeah. There were quite a number of sightings, though, of whatever it was. And Parker and Hickson, I think, seem to have a pretty good idea that something happened to them. Their description were kind of close, and I don't think they would just see a government experimental aircraft and think they were taken aboard or anything like that.
There was one aspect with all of these sightings around that area that was very consistent, and that was the color of the light seen in these reports, which was, you know, quite a bit different than your standard aircraft, you know, say like hazard lights.
Yeah, and that's one thing I remarked about in my book a number of times is during that wave is a lot of people saw blue, and that isn't a normal sky color. I mean, an airplane has a red wing light and a green wing light and a white strobe light and that sort of thing. And blue is not a normal aircraft light. It's not a meteor color in normally or anything else, but a lot of people reported blue, and that just stood out to me that this is not a normal thing you'd report if you were looking at an airplane or something.
Well, I think it's especially significant that it's coming from people who are basically in a vacuum with their report. They have no idea what other people have reported, yet everybody, not everybody, of course, but, you know, a significant number are reporting, you know, blue light.
Yeah, and that's one thing very consistent. Another is, in general, it was didn't make too much noise and things like that. And also, the inside of the object, they didn't see furniture or lights or anything. They just saw white, like really bright white light. And that you'd expect, you know, if you were thinking about an airplane, that there'd be furniture and they'd have an MRI machine and all that, but there wasn't anything. And even when they were placed on a table, they didn't see any table. They just thought they were placed on a table and moved back, and it was there. They didn't see any furniture or anything on the inside.
Well, of course, we would look at this in terms of what we understand. But if we're dealing, let's assume it's a physical spacecraft, with something that comes from another planet, maybe orbiting another star system, a civilization that could be hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us, what would they use as furnishings? How would they equip a medical exam room? Or maybe to them, all this is just recreating energy for the benefit of the individuals they're examining.
Well, that's what I put in my next book that's coming out next year, is on, like, if they were robots or something, they wouldn't require furniture. I mean, robots just stand there and turn off. But, yeah, I mean, it may be all energy or something that can explore us, but we can't. We can see beings, maybe, if they tell us to see beings or whatever. I mean, they might need, may not need furniture at all.
You made an interesting point about seeing these beings, maybe, you know, how they think that something like this should actually look. It reminds me of the Travis Walton case. When he was first abducted, he saw, you know, like the little guys with big eyes that scared him to death, and then those guys disappeared only to be replaced by more human, actually kind of beautiful looking humans. So it makes you wonder whether or not there was some kind of mind manipulation going on there, that at first it was realized that, you know, what he was seeing was scaring him, so they brought in something, an image that was more familiar and calming.
Well, that's what Parker said, that these mechanical things took him in. And then he said there was a woman inside that looked human. And then the mechanical things, I guess, took him out. But a lot of people report some type of beings or robots. And then they also say there's normal humans in with them.
Yeah, now see, that aspect of the case, that there was a woman on board, is hasn't really gotten a lot of airplay with this case.
No, and I mean, there's, even with the Hills, there was evidence of collecting sperm and eggs, and you never know exactly what might have happened with the woman, too. I mean, not that he remembered anything, but it was sort of a question that, with both him and the Mr. Blair, who also wouldn't talk about if more happened that they didn't remember or something. Because the very first reports that came out on abductions were seemed to talk about collecting eggs and sperm, or sperm anyway. So you kind of wonder if more happened that they didn't remember.
Well, and I think that's an aspect that has kind of gone underreported just because of the whole uncomfortable nature of that. People are reluctant to talk about it, and I think that a lot of investigators are reluctant to ask the difficult questions.
Well, that's why I thought maybe they didn't talk about it, too. Because, like I said, I interviewed the wives of two men that didn't talk about it at all for many, many, many years. And I kind of wondered about that, if there was more to it that they didn't feel like talking about it. That's why they didn't talk about it. But I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Now, did Parker and Hickson, did they ever say if they had any other in encounters after this? Because generally it's rare that somebody who would have one close encounter like this wouldn't have another, if not a number, of experiences later on in their life.
Let's do our break here, and we'll talk to Irina and Tim and Jean. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than Sunny-Bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come in a wide variety of uses. Apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Irina, as you're asked there from Tim Swartz, did Hickson and Parker, either of them or both of them, have other experiences over the years?
I don't know if Hickson did. I don't remember reports that he did, but Parker, I think he had one in 1993, maybe with the woman, and he might have had one when he was young, but I think he remembered both of those under hypnosis, with the 1993 one. I think he had missing time or something, but I don't think, you know, in 1973 he remembered anything, and I think it was years later under hypnosis that he said that.
Yeah, and you always kind of have to take any information that's been gleaned from hypnosis, you know, as suspect. I just have never been comfortable, you know, with the stories that come out after hypnotic sessions.
Yeah, you have to say, you know, this is under hypnosis, and it wasn't really remembered, actually, so far as I know. I mean, that should be distinguished from something that somebody actually remembers at the time it happened and everything.
So now, if there is one big takeaway that you would like to impress upon people who are reading this book about this case, what would that be?
Well, I think it's what they said themselves in their books, that something really strange might be happening to people, and most people are just totally ignoring it. I think the government has trained people over the many, many years to make fun of anybody that said anything and harass people. And so you don't get the information you ought to be getting because of that. And you wonder why the government wants to sort of hide it. If there's something here that is affecting people, what ought to be out in the open that people can discuss, and it appears to not be. I mean, it's coming out a little bit now, but for all these many, many years, the government has actively told people UFOs don't exist, there's nothing to it, everybody's insane that sees it, make fun of them and all that. But it appears to happen to a number of people, and if so, it's something that should be considered and explored.
Now, I remember when you were a guest on our show, Exploring the Bizarre, you had an interesting story about your own UFO experience that happened on the East Coast and involved a particularly strange individual as well. Am I correct with this? Would you, I don't know if our audience is familiar with this, but I found it just to be really fascinating. You want to talk about it?
Well, my sister and I, when we were kids, we were very poor, and my father had farmed with horses, actually, right before it happened, but we had had something in our room when we were real young kids, and we didn't understand what it was, but many, many years later, I read a book by Jenny Randles about how people that have, that often have several sightings will have bedroom experiences of things in their room. Well, my sister and I had that together when we were kids, and it was a long time before we had ever heard of UFOs or anything. We just had a radio, and my parents listened to, like, the stock market, the cows and the horses and things. And so we never heard of UFOs or anything at the time. And so, and then when we were adults, we had another experience together. And so far as I know, we're the only people that I know of that had experience when we were kids and adults both together. But in the East Coast one, I was working for the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, and I had a very high security clearance and a GS 11 position in photo interpretation working with satellite photography. So I was in, at the time I was in air or order of battle, and I was supposed to be identifying airplanes too from satellite photography. She was at Drew University taking postgraduate work, and we were both on the East Coast, so we decided to go on a vacation and see the New England states. And we went up to Boston, and we were going to stay all night, and we did some other traveling and came back to Boston and found out it was crowded and we couldn't find a motel room. And so we were leaving, and we saw there was an airport south of us that we could watch, and we could see the airplanes come in. It was Norwood Memorial Airport. We could see the airplanes come in with their red and green lights on their wings and their strobe lights and everything, and looking normal. But below it was this white light that was blinking, and it looked a lot different from the airplanes. And my sister kept saying this might be a UFO, and I kept telling her, you know, that she was crazy. And so we continued, and we saw this light in a woods after we got on the freeway, 95, and it was turning in different, it was going through a spectrum of colors like red and blue, but the inside of our car lit up in green, and I didn't understand that. And so we continued. My sister eventually started screaming at me to pull over, and I did. And we saw this object. I had pointed out the window, and I saw a meteor, and I was going to say, you know, that's a helicopter, and it wasn't. And this thing came over. It was pretty close. It had seven windows, and we discussed whether they were windows or panels, and we'd both seen blimps with panels, lighted panels on the side. This was silent. It was slow. And you could see the what looked like windows very, very clearly and close. And it was filled with real bright light and nothing in it. And I was working in photography for the DIA, and I was familiar with photography. And I had a Polaroid camera with me that used 3000 ASA film, which is high-speed film for back then. And I got the camera out and was loading the film in, and I thought I could just take an amazing picture because it looked like we were seeing light on the inside. We could see the object close. It was clear. It was going over the freeway. And this man, this truck driver pulled over and came just when I was ready to take the picture, which I thought was going to be amazing pictures if I could take it in stereo and things. Well, he asked what we were doing. And I pointed at the thing, and I didn't say UFO or anything, but he just rotated around, pointed his head in the opposite direction and said, "I don't see anything." And they rotated around and looked at me and asked the same question, "What are you doing?" And again, I pointed and said, "What's that?" Like it was an airplane, even though I didn't think it was. And he must have known where it was because he pointed, he turned around, pointed his head in exactly the opposite direction, said, I don't see anything. Then he came back and pointed to his head like I was crazy and went back to his truck. And then later he seemed to try to kill us. But this was a pretty odd.
All right. Hold the fort here. He tried to what?
Well, later, I did get pictures, but not the picture I wanted. I had climbed up a hill to try to get pictures, and I was afraid I'd get lens flares from the freeway, so I climbed up a hill and did get pictures. And it eventually, you know, being a photo interpreter, I figured out that this object probably had a light on it that wasn't visible to the eye. But then I was going to take my car and drive down the freeway and turn around and come back because I thought the object was going to go in the opposite direction. It was circling an airport and blinking in sequence. And so I drove into the freeway, and the man that was in the truck that had acted crazy, he got right on my bumper and began to follow me. And I would slow down or speed up and change lanes, and he just stayed on my bumper. And his lights were higher because it was a truck. And I was blinded because he was shining them right in my mirror. And I thought we were going to get killed. And I finally just floored it, and I couldn't figure out what to do. And finally I decided to, when I'd come to an intersection, I would suddenly shoot off to the intersection from the left-hand lane of the freeway. And we could have got killed then because somebody might have been passing us. But I did that, and I got rid of him. But I thought he was going to kill us for a while.
You know, this is starting to sound like an X-Files episode, if you look at the way it's going on there with the car chases and everything. Irina Scott, and this is not the X-Files, it's real life. With Tim and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
What they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.